Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. This message is for the week of September 13th, 2020, and it's Psalm 128, How to Be Happy. And before I begin the message, I have some good news that next Sunday, September 20th, we will resume, Lord willing, our public worship services. Due to restriction in how many people we can have in our building, we're going to ask that you call a number that we'll be giving you and pre-register so we can prepare for that. You will need to get more information, so please check your bulletin or your email or online. We'll have that information posted there for you. Let me begin with our call to worship. It's taken from Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. Today, we're looking at the question, what does it take to be happy? What kind of answer would you get if you asked that question to the people that you work with? What does it take to be happy? How about if you asked your friends or family members, what does it take to be happy? What does it take to make you happy? Material things and social or economic position can provide short-term joy. But lasting happiness, which is not dependent on circumstances, comes from somewhere else. Today we are looking at Psalm 128, and it deals with the question of how to be happy. Listen to Psalm 128 from the New Revised Standard Version. A Song of Ascents. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. So what is the psalmist's answer to our question, how can we be happy? He says it in verse 1, happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Now, it sounds strange to our ears to say that fear can bring happiness. So we obviously need to understand what is meant here by fear of the Lord. A biblical theology of the Old Testament says this, to fear God means to acknowledge His superiority over man, to recognize His deity, and thus respond in awe, humility, worship, love, trust, and obedience. The fear of God, properly understood, was no mere attitude. It involved the full range of humanity's response to the deity. Such response to God results in wisdom, in wise, skillful living. That was from a biblical theology of the Old Testament. So we see verse 1 is saying that relating to God correctly brings happiness, or other translation says brings blessings. The first appropriate action is a holy reverence, described in verse 1 as fear or respect. So fear or respect is a holy reverence. Millard Erickson, in his book Christian Theology, says this about the need for reverence in our relationship with God. He says, although there are love and trust and openness between us and God, we are not equals. He is the Almighty Sovereign Lord. We are His servants and followers. This means that we will submit our wills to God. We will not try to make His will conform to ours. Our prayers will also be influenced accordingly. Rather than making demands in our prayers, we will pray as Jesus did. Not my will, but thine be done. The second appropriate action to take towards God, which leads to happiness, is to walk in His ways, or as the latest NIV says, to walk in obedience to Him. It's important not to miss this. This means taking God's word seriously and putting it into practice in your daily life through your actions, words, and attitudes. We are called to fear God. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways, who walk in obedience to Him. This means to put into practice what His word says in our daily life through your actions, words, and attitudes. Sadly, studies show that many evangelical Christians aren't doing this and don't live any differently than their non-Christian neighbors. This explains the lack of blessing and subsequent frustration that they are experiencing in their life. When we walk in His ways, we are confirming that we get who God is. The story is told about a Sir Leonard Wood who once visited the King of France, and the King was so pleased with him that he was invited for dinner the next day. Sir Leonard went to the palace, and the King, meeting him in one of the halls, said, "Why, Sir Leonard, I did not expect to see you. How is it that you are here?" "Did not your Majesty invite me to dine with you?" said the astonished guest. "Yes," replied the King, "but you did not answer my invitation." Sir Leonard replied, "A king's invitation is never to be answered, but to be obeyed." A king's invitation is never to be answered, but to be obeyed. If we truly get who God is, isn't it natural that we would believe He knows what He's talking about? And as a result, obey His word, put it into action in our lives? Now, what are the consequences of having a right understanding of God and walking in obedience to His ways? We're told that that person is blessed, that person is happy. Verses 2 and 3 answers our question by giving some very specific descriptions of blessings. First, there is the personal blessing of finding satisfaction and sufficiency through your hard work and the promise that you will get to enjoy it. Verse 2 says, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you." Those who honor the Lord through obedience will find they are not working in vain. This reminds us of the words of Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. "Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keep watch in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late, eating the bread of anxious toil." Clearly, labor which ignores the Lord's principles will not bring the lasting satisfaction you seek. However, work blessed by the Lord will. Now, verse 3 uses agricultural terms to describe the peace and hope someone who walks in the ways of the Lord brings into their home. Verse 3 says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Here we see the psalmist is telling us, you become a blessing to those around you, especially those closest to you. Now, the opposite effect of this is seen in the story about a rice farmer who inherited a field. The first year, he watched as the water covered his field and gave him an abundant harvest. He was troubled, however, as he noticed that the water flowed from his field into his neighbor's field, making that field just as productive as his own. So the next year, he cut off the flow of his water into his neighbor's field. But his field remained flooded, and his crop was ruined. The lesson is that withholding a blessing not only harms the other person, it damages us. As Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In verse 3, notice how the man with a reverent and obedient attitude towards God impacts his family. His wife is pictured as a fruitful vine, implying the bearing of children, but there is more involved. Husbands, this passage is saying that your faithfulness to your Heavenly Father is a blessing to your wife. This enables her to be fruitful with all the gifts and abilities that God has given her, as the woman in Proverbs 31 is described. The writer emphasizes that this happens within your house. She is secure, at peace, and happy to be your wife. You've heard the phrase, happy wife, happy life. Husbands, here is the biblical way to achieve that. You set the example by fearing the Lord and walking in His ways. Your obedience to God blesses your wife. And she in turn will go on to bless others, including you. So we see not only will your wife be blessed and a blessing, happy in your home, you will see your children as a blessing. Verse 3 also pictures children as olive shoots, and you are excited by their potential, what they can become. Don't you love to see the green shoots sprouting out of the ground in the spring as you look across a field? There is life, growth, potential for the future. Through the family that the Lord blesses, the godly person derives both present and future joy and blessings. Verse 4 affirms that the promise of blessing given to the individual in verse 1 will in turn bless the family. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Now, what if you're not married? The promise of blessing remains. As you give God the proper place in your life and live in obedience to Him, you will find satisfaction in your efforts and see that you bring peace, life, and growth into your relationships. Happiness doesn't come from the outside or from things. It comes from understanding, I am loved by God, and He is pleased with my love for Him and how I show that love with my obedient actions. Verses 5 and 6 are a prayer for an even wider scope to God's blessing on the person who fears Him and walks in His ways. The Christian Standard Bible expresses the certain results of the Lord's blessing in this way. It says, may the Lord bless you from Zion, so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life and will see your children's children. Peace be with Israel. Zion was considered the home of God on earth, explaining why the blessing was coming from there. The purpose of the blessing was the prosperity of Jerusalem and to see your grandchildren as well as peace or shalom upon the nation, upon Israel. The circles of blessing keep expanding to touch a city, future generations, and even countries. How is this happening? It begins with a choice that you and I make to take the Lordship of Jesus Christ seriously in our own lives. Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins? Is He your sin forgiver? Ask Him, invite Him to forgive you of your sins. Next, is He your Lord? Is He your life leader? Is He leading your life? Are you following Him? He needs to be in charge. This is essential. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants." Matthew 7, 21. What is it that our Heavenly Father wants? Psalm 128, verse 1 expresses it in the form of a blessing. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Walk in reverent obedience to God. So how do you get in on this blessed life? There are no tricks, no luck required. Simply choose to submit your life to Jesus as your sin forgiver and life leader and begin the life of obedient faith. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Amen. Let me close with a benediction taken from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Amen.